Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. But on today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Ben Griffin. His message today is entitled, Identifying the Lost. It comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 13. I strongly advise that you all stop whatever it is you are doing. You find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon the heart of Brother Griffin to share with us all on today. But before we bring him on the air, I'd like to open the line for prayer requests. It is my request today, as in every day, that you all please continue praying for each other. Pray for every single family represented on the call, that God bless us all in ways that we stand in need of. I'm also asking for traveling grace on this morning, as my family and I and several other families prepare to travel for a friendly vacation with the kids. I ask you all, pray that we make it to and from our destination safely, that all the other motorists on the road, as well as ourselves, respect each other's faith and allow everyone to make it to our destination safely. Thank you. Caller 1340, state your request.
Good morning, this is Sister Carol Walker. I'm asking for prayers for my aunt, Barbara Walker Norman. I got a message from my cousin early this morning. She had to take her to the hospital. She is back home, but I'm praying that her blood pressure can be regulated. Thank you.
Thank you. Caller 6635, state your request.
Good morning. This is Sister Brenda from Detroit. I'm asking for prayers for my brother Walter, who was hospitalized, and also for a friend, Ronald, who was admitted to hospice. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for your prayer request. We'll now have our words. Words of encouragement by Brother Ben Griffin, followed by our closing prayer. Brother Griffin, you are on the air.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning in again to another telecast, Grace Nurtures, supported by the Grace View Church of Christ and Jesus Christ himself. We're so thankful and want to acknowledge you for your diligent support of this ongoing ministry and all those who have something to do with it. I'm eternally grateful to have been permitted to be an intricate part of this ongoing, long-standing ministry. Today, we want to encourage ourselves to be more evangelistic, giving us the courage to be willing to identify those who are in a stage or state of loss. That may also include ourselves, because we are to seek and save the lost. If we can't save ourselves, then who else will we be able to save? The Bible identifies the lost. We look at Luke chapter 15, but also identifies the attitude that is to be exhibited towards those who are lost. The Bible says, Drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Even that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, that I found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion that falleth to me, and divided to him his living. And that many days after that, the younger man gathered together all his, and took his journey to a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riot living. The Lord presents to us a three-panel message in parabolic form. First, he shows us that there are different types of sinners and lost, and they are lost for various reasons. Second, Jesus explains to these Pharisees his reason for loving and receiving the sinful. Finally, he shows that God will accept all sinners that repent. You know, the Bible is clear in saying that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. But the lost must first realize that they need Jesus. As we focus on identifying the lost of our day, let's reference a religious survey taken in New York City in the late 80s. Now, these are the late 80s, but just imagine what the figures would be today. Of the people interviewed, 80% stated that they did not read the Bible. 80% also claimed they had a close relationship with God, but they didn't read the Bible. And 80% also admitted that they were unsure about being saved. Unsure about being saved. Claimed they had a close relationship with God, but they did not read the Bible. What confusion do people experience? This kind of reasoning or misunderstanding should stir those committed to reaching out to those who are lost. This is why it's so important that we identify the lost. There are so many who are lost and don't realize that they're lost. Now, in this three-panel parable, certainly the time will permit for me to really do justice, but I want to identify these main points so we'll know whether we are lost and we'll be able to identify those who are lost. The lost sheep, in verse 4, we will relate this one to those outside of the church. Many of them are lost because of carelessness, ignorance, false teaching, hardness of heart, and of course, sin. They are satisfied with their lifestyle, and they don't want to be bothered about changing. They're hardness of heart because they do not feel Christianity is for them. It's only for women and children and the weak ones. False teaching. They've heard so much of false teaching on the television that they have no time, no interest in learning the truth. And they are ignorant to the point they're not aware that the shepherd is calling them. And Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And for this cause, they are lost. They don't realize that there's a better life available for them to live. And out of carelessness, not concerned about the danger they're in. Their souls are at stake because the spiritual war is going on, and they are not conscious or aware of it. As Peter says in 1 Peter 5:18, be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. There's a many of those outside of the church who are lost but don't know it. But also the lost coin. We will relate this to those who are in the church. Verse 8, see, the lady missed this coin. And she turned over tables and chairs, countertops, and swept till she found the coin. She had to find it. She looked for it diligently. She had to realize that she had lost the coin. But what's significant about this? This coin is in the house, but it's lost. Now, maybe it didn't get lost on its own, but nevertheless, it's misplaced or it's out of place. There are those who are in the church who are, yes, they are lost. There are many in the church but are still lost. They're lost because they lack the proper commitment to Jesus and relationship with other members. And because they have no real change in attitude, they have an ill will, and some are more worldly than before they got into the church. Some are lukewarm, and they will not forgive others. And on this account, they are lost and don't know it. And then, of course, the lost boy. We will relate this one to those who left the church. So there, that's verse 12 to 21. There are many who have been in the church, but backslid or fell away, we may call it. The wayward son was not lost because of carelessness on his part or on the part of someone else. He became lost due to his own intentions, his own selfish desires. Some may have left the church because of disunion in the church or was offended by someone. But many left in the same manner as the wayward son. Self-will is at the very root of sin. Many deliberately forsake the church and go into the land of sin. They throw off all restraints and violate whatever law they choose. They eat and drink and be merry regardless of the future. But the scripture concludes that those that do and live like this and go back, they are worse than they were before they came to the Lord. Being lost is terrible, but being saved is wonderful. I want to share an illustration with you that sometimes people don't realize the condition they're in. There was a picture of a skeleton that was laid outstretched in the desert. It was laid outstretched in the desert. And they didn't realize that in one of his hands he had a bag full of gold. Actually, it was copper pyrites, which was known as fool's gold. And in the other hand, he had a note inscribed on the note, "I died rich." Now, in his mind, he died rich. He wanted someone to know that he died rich. He finally was able to get what he wanted. But in actuality, he didn't die rich. He died as a fool because he thought he had the real deal, and he didn't. So many think that being free in their own way caused them to be free indeed. But true freedom is only found in Christ Jesus. So what will you gain by being lost? Nothing. But being saved, eternal life. How will you spend the rest of your life, lost or saved? The choice is yours today. Jesus is coming to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. We got to realize that we're heavy laden and we're tired. And the only one can give us the proper rest is Jesus. But we got to identify the lost. And we need to begin with ourselves. Ask ourselves, is there any doubt that I'm okay with Jesus? And if you have any doubt, then you need to repent and ask for prayers, seek counsel so that you can be saved. You know, the teacher in lifeguard school, the first thing you must do is ensure that the other man don't pull you under. So that means that in here's one case you can somewhat be selfish. You got to save yourself first before you're able to save someone else. So identifying the loss begins with ourselves. Identifying the loss begins with those weak ones in the church, those mean ones, those one who live a lifestyle that's not complimentary of the word of God, and those who just have no time for God. So we've got to know who we need to evangelize. But I want to encourage us today, let's first evangelize ourselves. And as the Lord said a long time ago, we must first get the mote out of our eye before we get the beam out of the other person's eye. I'll have you reverse. Get the beam out your own eyes before you can get the mote out of the fellow person's eye. And so let's save ourselves today while we can. Let us pray. Merciful God, we're so thankful for all that you are and all that you ever will be. We know that you teach us in Luke 15 that we are to seek and save the lost. We know that there's a group named the Pharisees and scribes who were the ones who were truly lost but did not realize their loss. And they took issue with Jesus because he was trying to find those lost and he was eating with those identifying, relating to those who really needed him. Let us not find ourselves in the Father being like the Pharisees and the scribes hung up on self. They were lost and didn't know it. That's why it's so important and the Father to help us to start with ourselves, save self first, so we can save others. Then, in the Father, we want to be thankful for those who are traveling. Sister Danielle requests prayers on behalf of her family who are going to a destination for a recess and relaxation. She asks for traveling grace. And also, she listed prayers on behalf of other families, all places, everywhere that they learn to be safe. Learn to love and trust, identify with you and your will and your way. Also, Sister Carol Walker comes to us this morning on behalf of her aunt, Barbara, who was taken to the hospital earlier, but now is back home having troubles regulating her blood pressure. We just pray to the Father that you step in there and help the doctors and help her to regulate the blood pressure so she can feel better and be better. Also, Sister Brenda, she calls on behalf of her brother Walter, tragically and unfortunately. A friend has been admitted into hospice. And we know that as a place, usually the last stage of life as we know it, but we do know there are cases where people have entered into hospice and they've walked out of hospice. So we're going to wait on it, and the Father wait on you to get the final decision, the final outcome. And so Brother Walter also was admitted to hospital. We're praying the Father. I bet you continue to do it. All those on this telecast, strengthen them, guide them through these words of encouragement that we understand where the loss is and who the loss is, and that we be willing to do something to save those which have lost. Guide and keep us throughout the remainder of our day. This is our prayer in Son Christ's name. Amen.
I won't let nothing.
There's a story of an old sister who would come to church every Sunday. It was pain aching in her body. She would struggle from the back of the church all the way to the front pew, sometimes with tears streaming from her eyes. And one day, one of those young sisters got beside her sister, and she told that old sister, "Sister, you're in so much pain. Why don't you just turn around and just stay home sometime?" That old sister just held her Bible close and said these words.
As I read stories of old, and I look at old man Joe. She lost everything that he had in just one day. Now can't you see him as he spoke with his wife? But she said, "You ought to curse your God and die." I can't imagine with tears in his eyes. I can hear Joe say, "I won't let
nothing turn me around.
Though he slay me, I'm still gonna trust
him.
No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. See, this is what I've learned. You see, when time in life gets hard, that's when you wanna fall down and worship God. So I won't let nothing."
Before I take it back, I'll add more.
What about those Hebrew boys? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the king said, "Better bow down before that image," that day, yeah, yeah. Well, those boys were scared of the fire. Hey, they looked the king dead in the eyes with no fear. I can hear them say, I won't let nothing turn me around.
I won't let
no weapon formed against me shall prosper. See, there's one thing I know. Sometimes we gotta go through the fire, but it's good to know Jesus will be right there by your side. I'm not gonna let nothing, no.
Turn me around,
yeah, yeah. Sometimes my road, let it get a little rocky here and there. And every now and then my burdens get heavy.
Like giving up.
I'm gonna keep moving, and I'll never turn around. I'm determined. I've got a made up mind. I'm gonna get my crown. She told us says, I won't let nothing,
no,